I've never preached the funeral of a child before, so please bear with me. The Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Better times will come, but for now, this is a time to weep, and a time to mourn, and a time to lose." My name is Chad Wagner. I am the pastor of the Hatcher family. I've been their pastor for 5 years now. We're here to mourn the loss of Cade Hatcher. Cade Owen Hatcher was born on May 5th, 2016, and he died on May 2nd, 2018. Today is Cade's second birthday. Cade was born with numerous afflictions, which he patiently suffered for much of his short life. Cade battled hard against cancer for the last several months of his life, and he did not give up without a fight. Cade was a blessing too and will be missed dearly by Austin and Christina and his entire family and friends. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the God of all comfort, Lord, we come before thee today with sorrow in our hearts, and we pray and ask for the comfort from on high to be sent down to us, Lord, to comfort those that grieve, Lord, to give them the peace which passeth all understanding. Lord, it's terrible to see a little boy lay in a casket, and I can't imagine what his parents are going through right now, and his grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. But Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest our frame. Thou knowest that we are but flesh, as a wind that passeth away. And Lord, thou hast been through all of the pain and suffering and trials that we have been through, and thou art ascended up on high. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need from our Lord Jesus Christ, who endured death and conquered death and rose from the grave. So, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with thy Spirit today to preach a sermon here, to give hope and to glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Cade wasn't old enough to know the Lord by personal experience. But you know, whether a man knows God or knows the Lord or not is not nearly as important as if the Lord knows him. It says in Galatians 4 and verse 9, when Paul wrote to them, he said, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God." See, Paul says it's more important rather to be known of God than to know God yourself. It's important to know God, but to be known of God makes all the difference. Knowing God brings a child of God temporal blessings in this life, but being known of God brings eternal blessings in the next. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 19, there were some people there in that church that had had their faith overthrown. And despite that, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Here are people that had their faith overthrown, the previous verse tells us, and it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord knoweth them that are his." And the Lord knows them that are his in a special way. It's called his foreknowledge. He knew them before he ever created them. God the Father foreknew them. He elected them. He gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ to save. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 1, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." God foreknew, knew ahead of time those whom he would choose, and he chose them, and he gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ to give eternal life to. Jesus said in John 17, in verses 2 through 3, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." God foreknew them, elected them, gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to this earth and he died for those people whom God gave him to save, and he gave them eternal life. Jesus knows his sheep. He died for them, he gives them eternal life, and he will lose none of them. He said in John 10, in verses 14 through 15, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." That's the blessing of knowing sovereign grace. Whenever you have a child die like that, that didn't have a chance to know the Lord experientially, but if the Lord knows him, that's what makes the difference. You see, Jesus knows his sheep, gives them eternal life. He said in verse 27 of chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." His sheep are in his almighty hand, and none can take them out. And he's coming back for them. He's going to come back, and he's going to raise them from the dead. He said in John 6, Jesus said in John 6, 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Jesus is coming back on the last day. He's going to resurrect all of those for who, all that God foreknew and gave him to save. So Cade has the same hope of eternal life as does anyone in this room. And it's not what he did. It's what Jesus Christ did. It's what God did. It's not what he knew. It's what God knew. It's what Jesus Christ knew. That's what Cade's hope is. His hope is that God chose him and that Jesus Christ died for his sins and gave him eternal life. Cade's hope is not that he died as a baby. Cade's hope is that Jesus Christ died for him. A lot of people think if he dies as a baby, he just gets a free pass or something. That's not Cade's hope. It's not that he died as a baby. It's that Jesus Christ died for him. That's Cade's hope. Now, many of you have probably asked yourselves, why has this happened? Why would God allow something like this to happen? Why would God allow a precious little baby boy to die? Especially the precious baby boy of a couple of good and godly Christians. Why would God allow that to happen? And I want to spend a few minutes answering that question. I'm going to answer it generally, not specifically. I can't tell you why God allowed Cade to die like this. But I can tell you why God allows things like this to happen. Goes back to the Garden of Eden. God created two perfect people in a perfect place, in a perfect world, where there was no sin and no death. It says in Genesis 1 and verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God saw, verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So everything that God created was perfect, was good. When he created Adam and Eve, there was no sin. There was no death. And then God gave man a law. And he told man that the punishment for breaking that law would be death. In Genesis 2, 16 through 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And many of you probably know the story if you know the Bible. Adam ate of that forbidden fruit. Adam rebelled against God, and because of that, he plunged all of his children into sin and death. The reason that Cade is lying here this morning in this casket is because Adam sinned and plunged all of us, all of humanity, into sin and death. It says in Genesis 3, 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Paul then says in Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's why we're in this predicament, because when Adam sinned, he passed that sin nature, that death principle, onto all men. And then we've all sinned ourselves. Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So because of this, we live in a world that is filled with disease and death and pain and suffering. That's why we live in such a screwed up world, is because of what Adam did and what we've all subsequently done. And in this fallen world, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. We can all understand that, but sometimes bad things happen to good people. And Solomon lamented this fact in Ecclesiastes in about three or four different places, and I'll read them to you quickly. Solomon recognized that in this fallen world, sometimes bad things just happen to good people, and it doesn't seem right. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15, it says, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness." He's basically saying the good die young. You've heard the saying, right? A just man perisheth in his righteousness. Why would that happen? "And a wicked man prolongeth his life in his wickedness." Why would a wicked man, why would God allow him to live long and allow a just man to die early? Why would he do that? Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 14, "There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity." And I agree. It is vanity, isn't it? You wonder, why do these things happen like this? It's because of the fallen, cursed world that we live in. That's why. Ecclesiastes 9, 2. "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not, to the guy that's religious and goes to church, to the guy that's not. Good and bad happens to all of them," Solomon says. "As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath." Sometimes, as the fish in the sea get caught in an evil net, and you just happen to be that one fish that gets caught up in that net, and the rest of them get to swim on by, that's what happens. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:12. "For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them." Sometimes you just happen to be that fish that gets caught up in the net. I'll just give you a quick analogy here. I don't know if this will help anybody or not. It helps me. You probably remember the housing bubble of about 10 years ago and the whole market crashed and everything. Well, prior to that time, in the early 2000s, the government blows up a housing bubble with low interest rates. And then prices continue to rise as people continue to borrow more and more money for houses they can't afford. But just imagine you, on the other hand, let's just say that you did the right thing and you saved up your down payment and you bought a house that you could afford, you can make the payments on, right? And then the housing bubble continues to get bigger and bigger, and eventually it ends up bursting, right? We already remember that happening. Well, then what happens is then the economy comes down with it, and you end up losing your job. The guy that saved up the money and did the right thing, and you bought the house you could afford, right? You weren't like everybody else flipping condos, right? But the market then crashes, and you lose your job. But you didn't do anything to lose your job. You just happened to be that fish that got caught in the evil net, right? It just happened. You can't make the payment on your house, and after your savings are spent, you lose your home, right? You can all imagine this happening. This happened to a lot of people. In this case, you are the victim of a broken system, and you suffer the bad consequences of decisions that were made by others, right? It's the system that's broken. You didn't particularly do anything to deserve what happened to you in that case. It's a broken system, and you ended up suffering because of it. And that's the way things are sometimes in this fallen world. We live in a broken, sinful system, and sometimes good and godly people end up suffering because they live in this cursed world just for no other reason. Now, of course, God's sovereign, and God allows everything to happen that happens. If he doesn't directly cause it, he at least permits it and allows it to happen. So what happened here that we've all witnessed, God allowed this to happen. But why would God allow it to happen? Well, there are some reasons for that. There was a time when the disciples saw a man that was born blind, and the man was of age. He was an adult by this time, and he had lived as a blind man for his entire life. And the disciples, whenever they saw this blind man, the first thing that they thought of, somebody sinned here. Either this guy or his parents, somebody did something wrong, and that's why he was born blind. But Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 3, it says, "And Jesus passed as he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" That man was born blind and endured a life of blindness for many, many years for one purpose, and it wasn't because he sinned or his parents. It was so that Jesus Christ could come along many years later and heal that blind man and show the works of God in him. Sometimes that's why things like this happen, so that God can show the works of God and make the works of God manifest in this situation. As hard as it is to bear that, sometimes that's why these kind of things happen. God allows them to happen so that his strength can be made perfect in weakness. Paul was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh, and he besought the Lord three times to take it away, and God wouldn't do it. It says there in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.'" You see, when God allows things like this into our lives, he does so to strengthen us, to make us rely on him and his grace, to bring us closer unto him. There's a purpose in it. This is not meaningless suffering. This is meaningful suffering. God allows these things for a reason. Remember what Jesus said with the blind man, that the works of God should be made manifest in him? Well, I can see several ways here in which God has been glorified through this tragedy, and I'll tell you what they are. First of all, God has been glorified by how Austin and Christina have suffered faithfully through the sickness and death of their beloved son, Cade. He's been glorified in this faithful suffering. God has been glorified when others have witnessed how Austin and Christina and the rest of the family have endured affliction patiently. They've been exemplary in how they've gone through this, and that has made other people look and derive strength and comfort from that. God was glorified when Austin and Christina refused the doctor's option of aborting Cade before he was born. They knew Cade was going to have major problems, and the doctor said, you know, tomorrow or the next day is the last day that you can get an abortion if you want to. And they said, no. No, we don't care what is going to happen to our baby. No, we're going to do the right thing. God was glorified in that. God is glorified when Austin and Christina continue to love him and trust him, even though they don't know why he allowed this to happen to them. God is glorified in that. And God will be glorified when Austin and Christina will comfort others in the future who are going through a horrible affliction. I want to end with a word of encouragement to you, Christina. Your work that you did for Cade will be rewarded. It will not be forgotten. In Jeremiah 31, 15 through 17, there's a prophecy here which was fulfilled whenever Herod killed all the baby boys in Israel, 2 years old and under, about Cade's age. Herod ordered all their deaths, trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was quoted there in the Gospels, this passage. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Thy work shall be rewarded, Christina. All that you did for Cade shall be rewarded. That's all I have to say.